Well, welcome. My name is Mike Reedmiller. I'm very excited to announce that this morning you will hear live from best-selling author Jack Canfield. And, of course, this call will be recorded where even more people will be able to hear it in the coming days, weeks, and certainly a call that we listen to and re-listen to for months to come. As the beloved originator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, Jack Canfield fostered the emergence of inspirational anthologies and watched it grow to a billion-dollar market. As the driving force behind the development and delivery of over 100 million books sold through the Chicken Soup for the Soul franchise, Jack Canfield is uniquely qualified to talk about success. You know, the other day during breakfast, I was telling my wife, Carissa, that I was excited to have Jack Canfield on our conference call. And my daughter, Sophia, she's 11 years old. She said that she had read a book by a person named Jack Canfield titled Chicken Soup for the Kid's Soul. And I told her that was the same person that would be speaking on the call. Well, later the same day, Kathy Smith and I had the pleasure of talking to Jack on the phone, and I told him about my daughter, Sophia, and Jack was kind enough to talk to her on the phone for a few minutes while she was getting ready for her summer camp. That certainly made her day. And after he spoke to Sophia, I told Jack that Sophia was his number one fan in Nebraska, which I think he appreciated and said that was fine with him. So we're looking forward to the call today.
Yes, I am. Well, I'm excited to be with you all. I think what we discussed is I'm going to do kind of a mini seminar here for about a half an hour, and then we'll open it up to some Q&A and let you guys drill down a little deeper on whatever it is you want to ask me. Basically, you know, whenever I hear people introducing me, you know, it kind of blows me away. We just published our 225th Chicken Soup for the Soul book. We're actually up to 500 million copies sold. That's half a billion copies. And this series started in 1993. And I think the big issue for people that I've learned about success, because I started studying success when I was about 26 years old, I met a man named W. Clement Stone, who was a self-made multimillionaire. He's worth $600 million. Took me under his wing and mentored me for several years. And what I learned from him is you got to work. You got to work hard, and you have to put in a lot of time. I just read a recent research report that said the most successful people work at least 4 to 6 hours on the weekend and put in about 60 hours a week. I've written, you know, a lot of books, edited a lot of books. And my first book I wrote it from 10 o'clock until 1 in the morning, because I had a full-time job, I had to come home, be a dad. And so when we talk about success, we're talking about putting in a lot of effort and a lot of study. One of the things that I recommend is that everybody read for an hour a day. I was just over in Vicenza, Italy, this is near Venice, and I was doing a workshop for 1,500 business owners. And Vicenza is kind of an industrial capital of Italy. And one of the guy who brought me over there told me he spends 3 hours a day reading books, listening to audio programs. He started out as a stock boy when he was working for the company that he now owns. And he just kept working and studying and working and studying and applying all the principles. So this is about knowing the principles and the strategies of success and applying them. So I'm going to give you as much information as I can about that in the next 30 or 35 minutes. When I teach, I talk about a combination lock. Everyone's opened a combination lock. And you can't open a combination lock unless you know the combination. And I was talking to a young man who was the number one chess champion in Alabama. He was the number one Cadillac dealership, had the number one Cadillac dealership. And he had started out as a gang member in the ghetto in Birmingham, Alabama, and had started learning about these principles from a teacher when he was in high school and putting them together. And we were having a conversation. He said to me, you know, Jack, success is like knowing the combination to a lock. If you know the combination, it doesn't matter if you're rich or old, if you're young or poor, if you're black or white, if you're male or female, if you live in Lincoln, Nebraska, or you live in Paris, Texas, or Beaumont, Texas, or California, or Maine, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high your IQ is or whether you went to college. If you know the combination, the lock has to open. So let's look at some of the numbers in this combination and make sure we get them in the right order, because most people are missing some, and they don't have them in the right order, and they're working hard, but they're not getting the results. So the number one thing you have to do is take 100% responsibility for your life. And if you're writing down notes, and I would encourage you to do that, research says that people that take notes actually remember 50% more of what they learned than those who don't. And the real key is to review your notes the same night you take them. They found out the number one college students that are getting 4.0 averages take copious notes, and then they type those notes up the same day they take them before they go to bed. So there's a review process that actually gets this into your long-term memory. So write down this formula, E plus R equals O. And that stands for event plus response equals outcome. Everybody, when they're complaining about their life, they're complaining about the outcomes they're getting. They're overweight, they're not healthy, they don't have the money they want, they don't have the intimacy and the relationships they want. Excuse me, and that's an outcome of how they responded to an earlier event. Let's say you get a check from the company, and it's for $2,000, and it's the first big check you get, and you go, wow, let's go out and celebrate. Well, a year later, you don't have that $2,000. Somebody else takes that same event, takes the money and invests it, and a year later, they have $2,200 because they made 10% on their investment. So there's an event. Right now, we are living in an event called a recession. Some people are responding to that by pulling back, not spending as much, telling themselves people don't have any money to buy anything, etc., and the outcome they're getting is less income. Some people are looking at the same event and doing a different response. I was with a group of people up at RE/MAX, the real estate agency, up in New York, and there was one guy who was just killing everybody else in terms of sales, making more money than anybody, and in the middle of a recession. And I said, what's your self-talk? You know, here's an event called a recession. What do you tell yourself that's different than everyone else? He said, I tell myself, doesn't matter what the economy is doing, I always do well. Well, that's a different kind of thinking than people that go, oh, it's a bad economy. You know, we probably won't make as much money this year. We better cut our goals back, etc. So E plus R equals O. And what most people do as a response when they don't get the outcomes they want is they blame the event. They blame the government. They blame the president. They blame Bush. They blame Obama. They blame John Boehner. They blame Harry Reid in the Senate, whatever. They blame the local government. They blame the Chinese or the Indians for raising the price of gas because they're all using more right now, or the Saudis or whatever. So we're always blaming something outside of ourselves. That's not a valuable response. The other thing we do is we complain. We get together and we have the Ain't It Awful Club meeting, and we talk about how bad it is. And people, you know, justify their lack of outcome or results based on, you know, talking about how bad things are. So you want to drop out of the Ain't It Awful Club, stop hanging out with negative people, spend more time on calls like this. When you're in your car listening to upbeat motivational CDs as opposed to the local radio station, watching news at night, someone recently said that CNN stands for constantly negative news. You know, and are you spending your time talking about the Casey Anthony verdict, or are you spending your time talking about some new strategy you're going to use to be able to get more people into your organization or sell more products or studying the new product guides or listening to uplifting material or reading good books, etc.? So whenever you're not getting the outcomes you want, instead of blaming and complaining, ask yourself, what new responses to the way the world is could I use? For example, there's only three things you can do in the area of response. You can think, you can visualize, and you can act. And action includes speaking. So let's break those down a little bit. Thinking. Most of us are going around thinking negative thoughts. And the fact is, we can always think positive thoughts. It's simply a choice. And so this is why it's so critical to keep your mind focused on your vision and your goals and not on current reality. It's important to remove words from your vocabulary like can't. Instead of saying can't, ask the question, how can I? Instead of saying try, say I will. Instead of saying I have to, say I choose to. There's nothing you have to do. People say, well, I have to pay my taxes. No, you don't. You go to jail if you don't, or you'll get fined, but you don't have to. You make a choice. And the biggest choice you have is your attitude. How am I going to feel about the fact that I'm in this current situation? And once you've made a choice, stop second-guessing the choice. Make the best choice you can. Keep expanding your awareness so you have better choices to make. Brian Tracy, I just listened to him at a conference recently, said there's only four things you can do to improve your life. Stop doing that which doesn't work. Start doing things that you've never tried before and do those. Do more of the things that do work and less of the things that don't. So what do you need to start doing that you're not doing? What do you need to stop doing that's a waste of time, because we've all got time wasters? What W. Clement Stone asked me on my first interview, he said, Mr. Canfield, he said, how much television do you watch a day? I said, I don't know. He said, that's not an answer. He said, think. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, 3 hours a day. I watch Good Morning America. I come home. I watch the news. And I probably watch some show before I go to bed. Like back then it was Johnny Carson. Today it might be Jay Leno. He said, I want you to cut out 1 hour of television a day. He called the television the income reduction box. He said, you're sitting there watching other people get rich while you're not. You're not building your self-esteem. You're not building your competence. You're not learning anything really valuable new. And you're just wasting your time. And he said, what I'd like you to do is cut out 1 hour of television a day. That will give you 365 additional hours a year. Divide that by a 40-hour work week. You get 9.5 additional weeks. That gives you the equivalent of 2.25 months of additional time over everybody else. And so I did that. I stopped watching television. In fact, one of the best things you can do is just either eliminate altogether or way cut back your television time. So focus on your thinking and focus on the behavior of putting more productive time into your life. The second thing you have control over is your visualization. Fear, which many people have in the current economy, or fear when you're about to approach a potential client or talk to someone in your organization or ask for an order or whatever, is basically fantasized experiences appearing real, future experiences, not in the present, but in the future. You're imagining bad things happening, and then you end up feeling bad, and you get scared. So we scare ourselves by imagining negative outcomes that we really don't want to have happen. So what you have to do with your visualization is every day, take about 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night and visualize all of your goals as accomplished. Visualize people responding to you the way you want. Visualize people picking up the phone when you call them. Visualize your ideal life rather than worrying about the future. I think it was Zig Ziglar said, worrying is simply negative goal setting. You're using the power of your mind to create a sense of paralysis. So we've got thoughts, we got vision, and we got action. And so we want to take action. So let's talk about some of the core actions we need to take. I'm sure everyone on this call knows it's important to have goals. Most of you probably set goals. The question is, how often do you revisit those goals? I'm going to recommend that every single day you take out your list of goals, whatever they are, how much by when in terms of income, weight loss, how many people in your organization, your monthly check from Trivita, whatever it is that you are have a goal about, and that you close your eyes and you visualize that goal as already complete. Now, most people don't even set goals. We know from a University of Pennsylvania study that people that write down goals, put them in a drawer, don't look at them for a year, accomplish more than people that don't write down their goals at the beginning of the year. If you take them out and you read them once a week, you accomplish more than the other people. And if you take them out every day, read them and visualize them, you accomplish twice as much as people who don't do that. So you can literally double your income in 1 year. And this is the promise I make when people take my seminars that I teach. I do day-longs, weekends, week-longs, et cetera, is that you can double your income and double your time off in 2 years or less. Who wouldn't want to have more free time and have more income? And that's possible. We get people that literally their January income in the following year equals their entire yearly income. Wouldn't that be a great goal to have? Turn my yearly income into my monthly income. And if you start to visualize that, what will happen is your brain will start to figure out how to make that happen. Excuse me, I'm just getting over having a little flu that went through California, and I've got a little bronchitis left over. But the point is this. If you take your goal and you visualize it every single day, you activate a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. Like right now, you're not aware of your left foot, but as soon as I say left foot, you can all feel your left foot. Well, the information was streaming up your leg into your brain, and it was being filtered out by your reticular activating system. This is the part that says basically what's most important to focus on. Most of you are focusing on my voice, taking notes, thinking about how to apply this to your life. And what happens is when I have a goal, the goal will reprogram my reticular activating system to let in ideas from the unconscious and more information from the outside world that can help me achieve my goal. I will actually start to see things I've never seen before. For example, if you buy a new car, the next day you're driving around, you're seeing 20 or 30 of that brand of car. You never noticed it before. But as soon as your focus was on that car, you started to see more of those cars on the road. Your mind became more open and aware of what was out there. And in terms of goals and desires, when you have a goal and you visualize and you talk about it and you obsess about it and you think about it and you know you're going to get it and you act as if it's coming, etc., all the things you talk about or saw in the movie The Secret, what happens is your unconscious brain starts coming up with solutions and you start seeing all of these resources, opportunities, and you know, things that can help you out there in the outer world. And so we have to literally train our brain to notice more of what's out there. In other words, there are people in the world seeing more opportunity than you do right now. Why? Because they've set themselves a goal for a higher level of production or a higher level of income or a higher level of creative ideas to come forward. And as a result of that, if they do this technique, which is what I'm talking about, for 30 days in a row without fail, and this is one of the big reasons most self-help programs don't work, is that people don't do the new technique or the new attitude or the new affirmation or the new belief system or whatever it might be for 30 days in a row. NASA did an experiment with astronauts where they had them wear convex lens goggles for 30 days. They were not allowed to take these off. They had to wear them 24 hours a day. Convex lens goggles makes your world appear upside down. And so they were trying to see, could they handle the disorientation of being in a weightless, gravityless reality when they were up in the space modules or up in, you know, the spaceship? And if they couldn't handle the world being upside down, which is very disorienting because you're reaching up for your cereal and it's down below you on the table, that they wouldn't be able to handle it in outer space. But here's what happened. 25 to 30 days into the experiment, every single astronaut during that five-day period, there were 15 people in the study, began, their brain flipped the image right side up so they could see they were getting this upside-down image into their ocular system. But basically, their brain said it would be more efficient if we could turn that image right side up again, and it did it, but it took 25 to 30 days. They then did a subsequent experiment where they had astronauts take off their convex lens goggles on day 15, put them back on day 16 at the end of the day, and it took another 25 to 30 days. And so the neuroscientists came up with what they call the 30-day principle. Most people will hear a call like this, will start applying some of the principles and strategies for maybe 5 or 6 days, then they'll skip a day, then they'll do it for 2 or 3 days, then they'll skip another day, and then they wonder by the end of the month why it's not working. The reason it's not working is you haven't applied this 30-day principle, which is saying that you must do it for 30 days in a row. We've always heard, you know, to build a new habit, you got to do it for 30 days in a row, and it's true. And so this is one of the key principles of success. 30 days in a row, listen to an audio program. 30 days in a row, do your affirmations. 30 days in a row, you know, don't watch TV. 30 days in a row, don't read negative news. 30 days in a row, read for 30 minutes in the morning, or meditate, or visualize, or whatever. And you'll see whatever new behavior you're adding to your strategies, excuse me, whenever you're adding that to your strategy, what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing results, but you won't see them normally for 30 days. If you remember in the movie The Secret, I talked about having set a goal for $100,000 at the time when I was making $8,000 a year, so it's a $92,000 increase in income. And I started visualizing having a $100,000 a year lifestyle. And it took about 30 days before I started having $100,000 ideas. And I started thinking, oh, I've got a book. It sells the first $6.95. I get a 25-cent royalty. This was back in 1978. And I said, wow, if I can sell 400,000 copies, that's $100,000. Well, that's the first time I ever thought that thought. Then I started having ideas about how to sell that many copies. You know, take an ad in Reader's Digest, whatever it was. So the point being, you're going to start seeing the shift, but you won't see it for the 30 days. Okay, so now we've talked about changing our thoughts, changing our visualizations, and making them positive and doing them on purpose. There's a discipline in the morning. And then again at night before you go to bed. Because we now know that what you think about and plan and talk about, watch on TV, etc., in the last 45 minutes before you go to bed or before you go to sleep, your unconscious will work on and think about 6 times more than everything else that happened during the day. That's why the last thing you want to do at night is watch the news. You know, people are watching the local news. What is the news? Fires, robberies, rapes, murders, wars, you know, the economy is going bad, more people are laid off, et cetera. And that's what you're putting into your unconscious, and that's what it's working on. You've all heard that you should plan your day the night before. And you should, before you go to bed, figure out what is my day going to look like? Not just a to-do list, but what am I going to do from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.? Block it out in one-hour chunks so you have a schedule. Research shows that a scheduled day is more productive than just having a to-do list. Another technique that I teach is we teach something called a breakthrough goal. And what would be a breakthrough goal for you? If you were sitting here 1 year from now and you had accomplished something that was not a, like a 10-yard, you know, a 5-yard play in football, but a 40-yard pass play on one play, that's a quantum leap down the field. So what would be a goal that if you were to achieve it would be something you'd say, wow, that really quantum leaped my life? Well, for Mark Victor Hansen and I, it was to have a best-selling book. We were both making about $3,000 a day as a consultant to go out and do speeches and talks and speak to network marketing companies and do professional associations. And we knew if we had a best-selling book, we could probably charge more like $20,000 a day. And if we had a book, it would reach people that we would never reach through our talking and our speeches, like Sophia, you know, Mike's daughter, et cetera, in Lincoln, Nebraska, which, you know, I've never spoken at. And so the idea is that how do we get out there and have more impact, make more money? And we thought if we had a best-selling book, that would do that. So that was a breakthrough goal. I think what you do with your breakthrough goal, and yours could be to double your income or double the size of your organization or whatever it might be. Some of you might have health goals in terms of getting rid of a certain condition you have. Like right now I want to get rid of bronchitis that I'm experiencing. And so I'm visualizing my lungs clear, and I'm visualizing breathing in light air and so on and so forth. And each I'm getting better. So what happens is that what you can do is for your breakthrough goal, once you've decided what that is, and when I do a workshop, I have everyone write down their breakthrough goal, share it with their partner, and why would that be important to you to achieve that? Now we have this number one overriding goal. The next thing we do, and this is what I was talking about planning the night before, we teach something we call the rule of five, that you do five specific action steps minimum every single day. And this is like every day, but if you take Sunday off or Saturday off or whatever is a spiritual day, that's fine. But for most of us, 6 days a week, what are five specific action steps that you can take that will help you break through to your goal? So for our goal, we would do five radio interviews every day. If we didn't have radio interviews, we'd go and we'd call radio stations to try to schedule them. So we'd have five outgoing calls. Some days we'd send five free books to important decision makers. Once we sent a box of books, 33 books, over to the O.J. Simpson trial to the jury, because the jury was sequestered. They couldn't read newspapers or watch TV. And so what they did was we said to Judge Ito, here's a free copy of a book for everybody. And we thought, well, maybe someone will mention it or the judge will do it, whatever. Well, about 5 days later, all the jurors are walking into court carrying this book that Judge Ito gave them, and it became a national press story. We sent books out to TV producers, and the producer of Touched by an Angel got one of the books, required all of her staff, this was, you know, hundreds of people, script writers and gaffers and lighting people and so forth, to read the book because she wanted that show to have the same energy the book did. That became a national story that went out on the AP Wire, was in the Hollywood newspapers, etc., LA Times, Variety, and so forth. And what happened was we sold, you know, hundreds if not thousands of books because of that one action. So every day, ask yourself, what are five specific action steps? Perhaps I make calls to people in my organization, or I'm making calls to new clients, or I'm making calls to people that are potential clients or potential people to join my organization. But five specific action steps. And we actually have a little product we sell on our website at jackcanfield.com, which is a block of Post-its that are 5 inches by 5 inches wide. And it says top five priority actions. And then there's five boxes and five lines where you write down what your five actions are that you're going to commit to that day. Then you rank order them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's the most important one? If you only do one, what would be the most important one? And then you start your morning doing that action. And then you move down through that list. And basically, my rule is I don't go to bed until all five actions have taken place. And sometimes that means I'm up till 1 in the morning, but that's the reality of the commitment, because we know, we use the metaphor for the rule of five, if you were to go over to a tree the largest tree in town. It could be a huge oak tree. If you just took five swipes at that tree with an axe every day, eventually, you know, it might take 5 years, that tree would have to come down. And so this rule of five is a very powerful tool in order to achieve your goals. So now we've got visualization, affirmation, breakthrough goal, and we want to have at least three other goals. You want to have a goal for, say, if I were to achieve this goal, it would make me happier. It might be listening to comedy for 15 minutes a day. It might be doing yoga or meditation. It might be playing with your cat. Whatever it is, if I did this goal and I achieved it, it would make me happier. You want to have a goal that says, if I achieve this goal, I'm going to end up being healthier. One of my goals this year is to do 100 push-ups in a row by August 20th, which is when the end of my seven-day training that I do every summer, our Breakthrough to Success training. And so I know if I achieve that goal, I'm going to be healthier at the end of the year. And so I actually bought a book called 100 Push-Ups, and it tells you what to do to get there. And I've been doing that and making great progress. I'm up to 89. I started, I could do 12. And so you want to have a health goal, and you're in the health business, so you definitely want to be, you know, we always call it a product of the product. You want to be walking your talk. If you're selling a weight loss product, you want to look, you know, like your weight's under control. If you're selling a product that's going to make you look more dynamic and healthy, you want to look dynamic and healthy. And then you want to have a third goal, which is a wealth goal. What is your income goal for the year in terms of either cash flow, income, royalty checks coming in, commission checks, or it could be your net worth goes up by a certain amount, or you reduce your debt by a certain amount, whatever that might be. And then the next thing that I think is really important is we found, we have a coaching program we do, and we found in that coaching program the number one thing that all of our coaching clients tell us was the most important thing in the program. And I'd always wish it would be, they'll say, well, Jack Canfield, you were brilliant. But it's not that. It's something we call accountability partners. We have in our program, everybody gets paired up with an accountability partner. And what an accountability partner is somebody that you talk to every morning, you know, 6 days a week, and you call them like at 7:30 or 6:30 or 8 o'clock or whenever you agree that you want to start your day, and you have about a 5, maximum 10-minute phone call. Because if it goes longer than that, it becomes a burden instead of a support. And what you do is you start the call and you share what you accomplished the previous day. And then you say, what are the 5 action steps you're committed to today? And then your partner writes those down, you write theirs down. You can take a couple minutes for brainstorming. Hey, I just read this really good book, or I just listened to Jack Canfield. You ought to check out his seminar, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's a new product. Come on, hey, are you excited about this new product? You know, how are you going to talk to people about it? And so you do a little of that, and then you get off the phone. The next morning, you get back on the phone, and you start by talking about, did you accomplish what you agreed to accomplish the day before? The reason this is important is most of you are what we call solo entrepreneurs. You're out there on your own. You don't have a manager. You don't have a boss. No one's holding you accountable to do the things, some of which are scary, to accomplish your goals. If the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, said send in your money anytime, most of us would never get around to doing it. But because they say send it in on April 15th, we get busy sometime at the end of March or the beginning of April because we know we have a deadline. And when you have a partner holding you accountable to these 5 action steps that you're committing to take that are going to take you toward the achievement of your goal, then what happens is you're much more likely to get them done because you don't want to get on that call in the morning, day after day, and say, I didn't do it. And the other thing is no excuses allowed. You're not allowed to get on the phone and say, well, the reason I didn't get it done is my mom came over. So if your mom came over and she was there for 2 hours, then just stay up later and get them done. Or tell your mom in the middle of the 2 hours, you know, I need to make a 10-minute phone call in order to stay on target for what I'm doing today. The other thing I would say that is really important to get yourself into success is something we call feel the fear and do it anyway. A lot of us come up against fear. You know, we're afraid of rejection. Let's talk about rejection for a minute. Rejection is a myth. You know, all of us are in sales, we're in enrollment, we're trying to enroll people into a new opportunity, trying to sell them a new product, trying to sell our family on the idea that even being in this kind of business makes sense because a lot of people have negative images about network marketing. But the reality is we have to get good at that, and we have to be willing to be rejected. Now, I say rejection doesn't really exist. If I asked Mike to have lunch with me after this call, let's say we lived in the same city, and he says no, well, I didn't have anyone to eat lunch with before I asked Mike. I don't have anyone to eat lunch with after I asked Mike. My life didn't get worse. So rejection is just a construct, an abstract mental thought you have in your mind. And so if I know I'm not going to lose anything by asking Mike or asking my brother to get involved in the business or whatever it is, then what happens is that I start to stop being afraid of rejection. There's a little girl I met. She was 13. She was the number one girl who sold the most Girl Scout cookies in America. And that year she won a trip around the world for herself and her mom. She sold 3,225 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Her name was Marquita Andrews. And she taught me a little phrase. It was SW, 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 SW. And that stands for some will, some won't, so what, someone's waiting. Some will buy, some won't buy, so what, someone's waiting that actually needs your opportunity, needs your product. I often say to people, if you had the cure to cancer, you know, you just, God came up in the middle of the night and gave you the cure to cancer and you downloaded it, would you be reluctant to share that with the world? No. You'd tell everyone because you have this great gift for them. You have to think of your product and the opportunity you're providing people as the solution to their problem. Someone's out there right now going, God, how can I make money in this economy? How can I get healthier? How can I help my children go to private school because the public schools aren't working? How can I take my wife on that dream vacation? And you come along and you're making this offer and you've got to come from the position, this is a service to them. I'm blessing them with this opportunity, with this product, with this possibility to be healthier and wealthier and happier. And so when the fear comes up, treat your fear like a two-year-old and go, okay, if I have to go shopping and I've got a two-year-old child, two-year-old doesn't want to go, I take them anyway. So what? You know, you're going shopping with me. And if they cry, if they get upset, the fact that you're scared, you're shaking. My wife runs couple seminars, and I remember when she first decided she wanted to do that, she got on the phone, and she hung up the phone before she even made the first call to try to enroll someone. She was so scared. And literally, I worked with her, and we visualized people saying yes and so forth. And then she called up her best friend, Stephanie, and Stephanie came over and said, "Will you just hold my hand while I make this call?" And so she started making calls, and after about 10 calls, two or three couples had signed up, and pretty soon we had 12 couples coming over to our house to do this couples workshop, you know, about a month later. And halfway through the morning, she says to her friend Stephanie, "You can go now, because self-confidence is the result of a successfully survived risk. And each of us wants to wake up every day and do a little stretch. A stretch should be something that makes you a little uncomfortable, get you out of your comfort zone. And a great phrase to write down is, everything I want that I currently don't have is just outside my comfort zone. Meaning the thing that's uncomfortable, I need to do." If you were to fold your hands right now, you know, if you can put your phone down, if you're on speakerphone, or put it up on your ear, and just fold your hands like you would fold your hands in your lap if you were at church or listening to a lecture, and notice which thumb's on top. And I do it, my left thumb's on top. And then what I'd like you to do is unfold all your fingers and then move them up one notch so the other thumb is on top. Don't just move the thumbs, but all the fingers. And what you'll find is, for most of you, if I asked you how that felt, you'd say, "Ooh, that's really uncomfortable." And most people, if I said, "What do you want to do?" they'd say, "I want to go back to the other position." So let yourself go back to the comfortable position. And then I say, that's why you're not successful. You're not getting what you want. You'd rather be comfortable than do what's required, which is folding the thumb the other way, which is uncomfortable. So you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, getting out of your comfort zone, a little stretch. Don't set goals that are easy. You want goals that are going to make you grow, goals that are going to stretch you, goals that a year from now you will become more of a master of relationships, of enrollment, of your product, of knowing how to talk to a group. I always say that public speaking is the best skill you can develop, because if I'm talking to one person, I can only make a sale to one person. But if I can get in front of 100 people at a guest event or a preview or a home meeting and talk to 100 people, I can sell maybe 50 people out of that 100 in the same amount of time it might have taken me to do one person. Get good at teleseminars like we're doing now. I mean, I'm talking to a couple hundred people more likely on the line and letting you know about my work and so forth, and that's better than talking to one person. So basically, public speaking is a big thing. And let me just talk about two more things real quick, and then we'll open this up for whatever Mike and Kathy want to ask me. The idea is when you're taking taking action. See, so we've got a vision. We have a goal. We're affirming it. We're visualizing it. Now we're starting to take these actions. We've got the rule of five. We've got our accountability partner to make sure we do it. What's going to happen is you're going to get feedback from your universe. You're either going to be successful or you're not. And what we recommend is that you actually get excited about feedback, solicit feedback. And here's a question I'd like you all to write down. This is for your downline. This is for your supervisor, people above you, your sponsor. This is for people that you're working with that are clients, et cetera. And you can ask them this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the quality of our experience, me as a husband, me as a sponsor, me as a person that's, you know, being trained by you, me as a service person that's providing you these products, or how would you rate the product itself or your experience with the product? Anything less than a 10 gets a follow-up question. And the follow-up question is, what would it take to make it a 10? What would it take to make it a 10? And so what happens is you now get feedback. Most people won't ask for that feedback, and the reason is they're afraid of what they're going to hear. Afraid to ask their wife, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the quality of our experience? Afraid to ask their children, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate me as a dad over the last month? The only person that doesn't know what's going on is you. Your wife is talking to her friends at the salon. She's talking to her mom on the phone. She's telling her sister what's not working. You're the only one out of the loop. And so you want to be someone that asks for feedback and then respond to it. Don't get angry at it. Don't be defensive. Say, thank you for sharing that with me. And then start applying the feedback so that you can improve the quality of your presentations, the quality of your interactions, the service you provide, et cetera. And lastly, perseverance. This is key. Whenever you start a new project, if you're new to the business, if you have a new product coming out, if you're opening up a new territory, you know, you're going to a new country like Australia, whatever, the reality is you're going to be uncomfortable, and you're going to have some things that you would call failures. People aren't going to ultimately just run to you and say, yeah, I want to sign up. There's going to be people that reject you, et cetera. The reality is you have to persevere. I don't know if you know this, but Chicken Soup for the Soul was rejected by 144 publishers before we found a publisher. If we had given up after 100 rejections, that was over the period of a year and a half before we found a publisher, I wouldn't be talking to you on this phone call right now. I wouldn't be living in a $6 million home in California right on the ocean. I wouldn't be, you know, doing any of the things I'm doing. I wouldn't have sold, you know, 500, we have to actually have sold 500 million books in 47 languages. I've been invited to speak in 47 countries. And the reality is that only is happened because I persevered. I didn't give up. When the book came out in July of 93, we did not hit a bestseller list until September of 94. That was 14 months of doing the rule of five every single day before we hit a bestseller list. And then it took off, went up to the number one in the New York Times, stayed there for 3 years. And for 7 years, we always had a book on the New York Times. I have a Guinness Book World Record for having seven different book titles on the New York Times bestseller list at once. But it didn't happen because we were just lucky. It happened because we worked our butts off every day, 6 days a week, persevering, not giving up, believing in ourselves, taking action, and then the results occurred. So it's like a hockey stick curve, if you know what that means. It's like a plane going down the runway doesn't immediately go to 35,000 feet. Sometimes you're on the runway, you wonder, is this plane ever going to take off? But it's building up speed and building up momentum, and then you get into momentum and you're finding all of a sudden your organization is producing lots and lots of leaders, and all of a sudden you're succeeding at a very high level. So I will stop and let Mike jump in, and we'll see where we are.
Great. Thank you, Jack. Excellent information. I made a lot of notes, and I'll definitely be listening to this recording. And, you know, my goal is not only the couple hundred people that are listening live, but get it to thousands of people that will hear this information in the future. But I like what you said, the taking five specific action steps every day, because over the course of a month, that's assuming a person does it every day, that's 150 different things people have done. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a year, that's, if a person does it every day, 1,825 things. And now, Jack, I'll bet with you, you're not depending upon success or a positive outcome for each step. The bottom line, you're taking the steps knowing that the positive outcome will come, but not relying on any one step but know that it'll come sooner or later.
That's true. There's a wonderful law that Brian Tracy writes about called the law of probabilities. He says the more things you try, the more likely one of them will work. The more people you talk to, the more likely one of them will sign up. You know, the more actions you take, the more likely one of them will be that breakthrough thing that will take you to the next level. I mean, we sent out lots of free books, but it was only three or four of them that actually shifted everything. You know, one got sent to Oprah. We ended up on Oprah. One got sent to the producer of Touched by an Angel. We sent one to a woman down in San Diego who was a rape victim. And we just read about her in the paper and sent her a book, said, we hope this will help. She read that book, and she brought the book to the sentencing of her perpetrator and the trial. And she actually gave him a copy of the book in front of the judge and said, this book helped me so much. When you're in prison, I hope it'll help turn you around. And that made the front page of the San Diego Tribune. So basically, you don't know which thing's going to work, but if you keep plugging away, one of them will. You open 100 doors, one of them you'll find leads you towards the success you want. Being creative, a lot of people depend on the Internet, and the Internet's great, but the Internet's only one of about 20 or 30 strategies you should be employing. I mean, we have a training we do every summer called Breakthrough to Success. We have 400 people come from about 20 countries around the world. 7-day training we do in Scottsdale. This summer we're doing it August 14th to 20th. And we probably will get, 100 people from calls like this. We'll get another 100 from the speeches I do out in the world. We'll probably get 50 people who just show up on our website because of the Internet and search engines and so forth. We'll get 10 people from postcards we send out. We might get 5 people from people I talk to at the airport when I'm waiting for my plane. But all of those different activities produce a certain part of our total gross income around that training, where we help people break through all the barriers and blocks to their success. But if we only did one of those strategies, we'd probably have a fourth of the number of people in the room as opposed to doing all of those strategies. I have a friend named James Malinchak. He does a seminar every December, puts about 600 people in it, and he says, we do 53 discrete different things in order to fill that room. You know, he's got a newsletter that goes out, he's got a blog he does, he's got articles that he publishes in certain, local newspapers. This is a great thing. You know, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who we all know, the sex expert in New York, she was not a national name until she got on a radio show in New York, and she called up all the radio producers and said, if anyone is ever doesn't show up for a radio interview, just call me. I'll be instantly on the line, and I'll give you a great interview. Well, pretty soon she's doing all these interviews in New York, and then she started a little column in the West Side paper. You're not going to get a column in the New York Times or the LA Times or the Denver Post, but you can get a column in a local suburban newspaper. You can have a blog that's not only on your website but posted on other people's websites where you talk about different aspects. I have a friend, and he puts out a blog, and every week he talks about some aspect, and people start thinking of him as the next 2-minute spot on a local radio station. You know, they're always looking for content. You know, my life purpose is to inspire and empower people to live their highest vision in the context of love and joy. And so I want to support everyone on this call to live your highest vision. And we put together a number of things that can help you do that. Number one, we have something we call the Inner Circle Club, and it's something you can join. I think it's about $19 a month. You can go to our website. It's just jackcanfield.com, and you'll see a button up at the top that says Inner Circle Club, and you'll end up on a landing page. It will describe what happens there. But basically, every month I go on, and we do anywhere from an hour to a half hour to an hour seminar on some aspect of the things we're talking about. I interview someone video in the studio. We've had John Gray, the Men Are From Mars person, Alison Armstrong, another relationships expert. I've had Tim Ferriss, who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek and now the new best-selling book, The 4-Hour Body, which would be of great interest to everyone in your organization because of the focus on health. And then there's also other videos. I do radio, teleseminars as well. So there's all kinds of resources. And then we have our training, which is the Breakthrough to Success training. I only do it once a year for the general public. Corporations will pay me as much as $75,000 a day to come in and teach this stuff. But we wanted to make it available for the general public as well. And it's a 7-day training. You know, we go from about 8:30 in the morning till 6 at night. We do this in Scottsdale, Arizona, where the room rates are cheap in the summer, August 14th to 20th. So if you're interested in that, and this is a breakthrough to success. It literally is a breakthrough. Breakthrough the limiting beliefs that are keeping you stuck, emotional things that are even in your unconscious you're not aware of. Clarify your vision and your goals. We get strategic planning. You have a mastermind group and an accountability partner when you leave. It's really profound. It's like going through a car wash. You come out the other side transformed. And just, you know, it's amazing. Life gets really easy when you apply these principles. And so you go to Canfield Trainings, C-A-N-F-I-E-L-D, trainings, that's plural, trainings.com. It'll take you right to the landing page. You can read all about it. You can watch videos of people who've taken it in the past, and they'll tell you amazing stories about how their life has transformed. We had one woman take the training, and she's now sold over 60 million books. We have another person who took the training, was a yoga teacher, that now her her monthly income is, this year is what her yearly, her yearly income last year is now her monthly income. And it just goes on and on. Amazing stories, and you'll just, that alone will inspire you of what's possible in life. And lastly, if you can't do any of that, get the book, The Success Principles. It's $14.95. Read that book. Go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or my website. And that book, I promise you, will transform your life. We get emails every day about what people are doing as a result of just reading the book. So, but if you really want to go deep, you can come take our training, go to the Inner Circle Club, and on our website, you can also read about our coaching programs.
Yeah, Jack, one thing that I had implemented, in the past, but was not only write down my goals, and people say review them regularly. I have my goals, my written goals, on my desk where I see them all the time. And even if I'm not looking at them, they're in my peripheral vision, or I subconsciously see them. So that's one thing that I did, keep my goals in front of me, because how many people, they either have mental goals that they don't write down, or they do write down the goals, and then they forget where they're at. So that's one thing that I've done that's helped me out. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, two things. I do the same thing. It's brilliant that you're doing that. I have a frame, a picture frame that my wife gave me. It's a very nice one, actually. It's made out of pewter. And I typed out I make 21 goals. I have 7 areas of my life that I focus on. And I usually have 3 goals for each of those. I'm a big goal achiever, so I go big time for it. And they're all typed up and sitting facing me right now. I could read the list to you. But the point is, every day I look at that. And the other thing I recommend everybody do, the goal list is words, they're concepts. I also make a vision board or a vision book where you cut out pictures and words of the goals that you want to achieve. I'm looking at mine right now. It has a picture of a very strong back doing a push-up for my 100 push-up goals, and the number 100's next to it. There's a picture of a sunset over Anapali Bay in Maui where I have a house that I want to spend more time at. I have a picture of a 10,000-person audience on there because I want to be speaking to really large audiences, national conventions and so forth. I got a picture of my book that says 1 million copies sold, my latest book. So basically, you want your goals in front of you, and then right next to that, you know, maybe another picture frame or even larger with pictures that represent those goals. So you're hitting the visual as well as the conceptual side of your brain.
Wow. Well, Jack, would you mind just sharing the 7 categories that you have goals for?
Sure. I don't mind at all. The first category is financial. Everyone has financial goals, or should. Second is job and career. And that's different. Like, a financial goal is a number, but a job or a career goal might be to have X number of people in my organization, or to become a regional sales manager, or to open up Australia as a territory for me. The third area is health and fitness. So you might have a goal, a weight loss goal, or you might want to run a 10K. One of my health and fitness goals I mentioned is 100 push-ups. Another one is to reach my ideal weight of 191 pounds. Another one is to, cut out all snacks and everything after 8 o'clock at night. So these are health and fitness goals. The next area is relationships. So you might have a goal to build 10 new friends into your life, or to have a women's support group. My wife just started a support group of women that talk on the phone every week. And then every quarter they come together and they spend a weekend together. Maybe it's heal relationship with your son. The next is called fun and recreation. And so you might have a goal that you've always wanted to go to Paris, or go on a safari, or it might be to learn to salsa dance, or it might be to learn to tell a joke, or to have a new joke every week. So at the end of the year, you have 50 jokes. The next area is called personal. And this is where we say, personal development, how many books you want to read. Maybe you want to take my seminar in the summer. That's a goal. Another personal thing would be possessions. Are there things you want to own, like a Mercedes or a certain kind of, you know, Rolex watch, whatever. So personal development and possessions and things you want to do just because you want to do them. And then the last area is called philanthropy or contribution. And that's basically what difference do you want to make in the world. Like I give away 10 free talks every year to nonprofit organizations. I MC a local organization here, a fundraiser every year. I tithe, so I give away hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to 7 different organizations I support. So these are the 7 areas.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go to also jackcanfield.com. That's JACKCANFIELD, jackcanfield.com. A lot of great resources on there, too. So be sure to visit that, check out that website. Well, great. Well, Jack, I really want to thank you for your time, the privilege and pleasure of the great information, powerful information that you shared with us. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, let me end with a story. There's because I've collected thousands of stories over the year for Chicken Soup. There's a story that I put in my Success Principles book about a guy named Dr. Ignatius Piazza, and I think it's very inspiring for people to hear this. Here's a guy who graduates from chiropractic school, wants to be in the health world and make a difference in the lives of people, wants to have an office up near Pebble Beach, California, and he goes there and he talks to the local chiropractic association. He says, will you guys help me set up my practice? And they said, not really. We have one chiropractor for every 8 people in the area now. We don't think we need more people doing chiropractic here. And he said, well, thank you very much for nothing. And he went out on his own and he said, I'm still going to put up an office here. And so he figured out where he wanted his office to be, and he got a map, and he put his little pin in the map, and he said, for the next 6 months, I am going to simply go door to door, and I'm going to knock on doors, and I'm going to say, hi, I'm a new doctor in town, and I'm going to ask him 5 or 6 questions, things like, should I put my office on this side of town or that side of town? Should I call it Ignatius Piazza Chiropractic, or should I call it Chiropractic West? Should I be open in the morning from 7 till 9 or open in the afternoon from 5 till 7 for people who have 9 to 5 jobs? I don't want to do both. Should I advertise in this paper or that paper? And the last question he asked was, if I have an open house, would you like to receive an invitation? And if they said yes, he then put their name and address down. Now, he did this for 6 months, every morning until that night when someone would say, don't you think it's a little late to be knocking on doors? He knocked on 12,500 doors, talked to over 6,500 people. And when he finally opened his chiropractic office 6 months later, his first month in practice, he made $72,500. And by the end of the year, he had netted over $1 million in profit from his chiropractic practice. I think the power of that story for is you got to talk to a lot of people and create relationships. I gave a talk where I've used this story up in that area about 2 years ago. And this guy had been there for about 20 years. And this one guy raised his hand. He said, you know, he knocked on my door. And I said, really? And I said, what happened? He said, you know, he gave me his card. And I didn't really need a chiropractor, but I had an accident about a year later. I still had his card. I went to his office. I probably paid that guy $500 before I was done for chiropractic treatment. So the idea being, talk to a lot of people. Share the opportunity with them. Start with the product. Care about them. Stay in touch with them. Follow up with them, and you can have as successful a practice with Trivita as Ignatius Piazza has with his chiropractic office. Well, it's been my pleasure to be with you guys. And again, you know, go to jackcanfield.com or canfieldtrainings.com. We'd love to see you in any way that we can help you. We'd love to be of support to making your life the dream life that you've always imagined.
Thank you very much, Jack, for the great information. Look forward to maybe having you on a future call sometime. And thank you to everybody that dialed in and also to listen to this recording. This concludes our call. Have a super weekend, and we will talk to everybody soon.